of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Some of the words that we heard read as we were preparing for the Divine Liturgy this morning particularly struck me in light of the epistle and the gospel that we heard read today. There is no change in him because he does not fear God. The fear of the Lord, we are told, is the beginning of wisdom. Often people come and they ask, "What do you Christians believe?" And then the answer is considered, as though a certain set of doctrines and teachings, the right one, can make all the difference. And there are right doctrines and teachings. There's no question about that. We can accept them. And if we have no fear of God, and there is no humility in us, then we may have no part in God. Whatever our opinion might be, whatever our belief might be, however sound our understanding of doctrine and teaching might be. The reality is still that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And if we have no fear of God, then we will not change. We can't be changed from the outside. We change from the inside. God changes the world from the inside. He came into the world. He entered into the inside of the world himself, became incarnate. Jesus the Christ is the one who is fully God and at the same time fully human, so that he could change the world from inside, so that he could change the world from inside of us. But without the fear of God, there is no change. There is no faith. We heard today in two places, both in the Gospel and the Epistle, about faith. Father Lev Jalay says that faith is the humble certainty, the humble confidence in the goodness and the all-powerful God. Humble faith in God. St. Paul says, just before the section that we read this morning, he's reminding the people in Corinth, and he says, "You belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God." You belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. We bought the property next door, and one of the points of concern that always comes up in America with its secular orientation when it comes to how it understands things is that our deed and our articles of incorporation as a corporate institution in the legal system of the United States, which is definitely not how we understand ourselves as the church. The church is not an institution. The church has institutions. God didn't come into the world in order to found a more perfect corporation. But the church does have organizations. And it's important for the following wording to be included in official documents that have to do with the identification of ourselves. St. Timothy Orthodox Church of the Diocese of the South of the Orthodox Church in America, because we are part of that whole that is the church. If we are not part of that whole that is the church, then we can't be the church, the fullness of the church, in this particular place, in this particular time. It's only by being one with our Archbishop and the diocese, and being one with the Orthodox Church in America, particular time, particular place, the Orthodox Church in America. Only by being one with them can we be an Orthodox Church, because that's the nature of the Orthodox Church. And St. Paul is reminding the people in Corinth of exactly the same thing. You belong to Christ. Christ is God's. You are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Now, what does that have to do with faith? Everything. Our faith, small as it is, small as the grain of a mustard seed, if it is of Christ, who is God's, it can move the mountain. Because according to Father Lev Gillet, what Jesus is talking about here is not accomplishing great deeds in the world. What he is talking about is the contrast between the smallness of the grain of mustard seed that is our faith. Your problem is that you have no faith. That's why you couldn't do this. The contrast between the smallness of the grain of mustard seed, our faith, on the one hand, and the mountain of the possibility of faith. Because God is unlimited. There is no limitation to his goodness and his power. And if our faith is at one with him, if our faith is part of his goodness and power, there is no limitation to what we can do. But this kind of thing can only come about by prayer and fasting, by doing battle against our own sense of self-importance, by achieving real humility. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Humility is absolutely essential. Humility is absolutely realistic. We are created to be one with God. Our life, our power, everything depends on our being one with him. Jesus is not instructing the disciples on a technique for accomplishing great acts. Well, here's, look, what you did wrong is you don't believe strong enough. Power of positive thinking, disciples. If you believe you can do it, it can be done. If your faith is as strong as the grain of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. We are in the realm of a secular doctrine, exploiting religious faith to accomplish worldly tasks, if that's how we misunderstand these passages. And yet I would be willing to think that the vast number of times that we have read these words, that's exactly what we have thought. Religion has got to be good for something. Otherwise, who cares about it? It's got to produce positive results. Otherwise, how can you have faith in it? Look at St. Paul. His situation is dire, is desperate. His situation is difficult. With bitter irony, he points out to the Corinthians the difference between their situation and his situation in order to highlight the nature, the quality, the reality of faith. You are Christ's. And Christ is God's, he has just said. And now he is saying to them, you are strong, we are weak. You are powerful, and we are at the mercy of the forces of this world. We are poverty-stricken and have to work with our own hands. And you are well-to-do and don't have to live in that kind of way at all. We don't say these things, he says, in order to shame you, but to point out to you that the real reality of our faith is not about getting positive results in the world around us. If you love me, the world will hate you. If you were of the world would love you. It would reward you, Jesus said. Things are not necessarily going to go for you in a rosy fashion if you live against the way of the world and belong to Christ. They may not. God may give us the things of the world. It is up to us not to give ourselves to the things of the world, but to keep our faith in Christ God, a humble faith in the vastness of his goodness. All that we are comes from Him. There isn't anything that we can have or get or accomplish that He didn't give to us. And so it's important for us not to be deluded by the ways of the world, even to the point that when Jesus is trying to tell us that if we had faith as small as the grain of a mustard seed, we would have a oneness with the goodness and the complete power of God Himself. It doesn't necessarily mean that things are going to come out in the best possible way for me. We are not, each one of us, our own center of the universe, and it's not for God to reorganize things so that they can be as convenient as possible for us as individuals. That's not what we pray for. And it's not the test of a faithful person, look and see how well things are going for them. But regardless of things are going well for them or things aren't going well for them, their faith is a faith in Christ, who belongs to God. The oneness of our faith in Christ is a oneness that joins all of us together at one with God in Christ and at one with one another. This is the faith that gives our lives meaning, regardless of how things turn out as far as the externals of our life. St. Paul, the apostles, they had difficult lives, but their wealth was a wealth of heavenly and eternal things that gave the particulars of the lives that they lived a permanent and eternal meaning that still calls out to us to bring us in to the common realm of the kingdom of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.